For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson. Hello and welcome to the Friday News Feedbag. It's Friday and that's what it's time for. And we have, as always, Discovery News reporters James Williams and Jorge Ribas with us. James, how you doing?
I'm great, and it's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And Jorge, James is here in the studio with me. Jorge, you're on the phone again.
Right, I'm in my remote location.
Your cube.
Right, my cube.
once again. Well, let me tell our listeners, as we always like to do, if we have some new listeners, every Friday, James and Jorge bring us their three favorite stories of the week, three apiece. We then leave it up to you, our loyal listeners, to call us or email us with the story that you like the most, and you want to tell us a reason, too. It can be any reason, pretty much. And the reporter whose story gets the most votes wins. So that's how it works. So first of all, let's reveal the winner of last week's Friday News Feedbag. We had a lot of people emailing us at pod_cast@discovery.com. Also, some phone calls. We'll tell you how to do that at the end of this podcast. And one of the emails we got was from Beth. She is a computer scientist at Millersville University in Pennsylvania. And the story that she liked the most had to do with the joystick mouse. Basically, it was a mouse that uses vocal commands. Is that right, Jorge?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and Beth is actually on the line with us right now. Now, I'm not saying this story is the winner, but I'm just saying that this did get some votes, including from Beth. Beth, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
So tell us, you're a computer scientist, so you know a few things about mice, right?
A little bit, yeah. And I've used speech recognition on my Mac, so I was intrigued by the vocal joystick.
Yeah, and Jorge, maybe you can quickly be a little more specific. How exactly does it work?
Yeah, well, the new one would work by kind of cutting out all those phrases you have to say now. I'm assuming that you have to say, Beth, by just going straight to more vowel sounds like A, E, O, U, you know, things like that. And there was even also like the clicking of the mouse could be like a hard K, like a K, and then a CH would be like releasing the mouse. So it would just make it a lot faster and probably maybe, you know, a little bit easier if many people are using this program in the same location. So
yeah,
it wouldn't have people shouting, move up, move down, whatever.
Yeah, I've run into problems. My kids have sometimes walked in and said, oh, quit this application. And
while you're on the computer?
I'm on the computer, yeah, and it just happens. Or my daughter will be doing it in one room, and it's very distracting if she's using voice commands and I'm trying to do something else. So maybe you wouldn't notice the E-I-O
right
sounds as much.
It sounds like your kids are kind of jokesters, though, so they'll just walk in the room and say, close application.
Yeah, they deny that, but yeah.
All right, so Beth, this would be helpful in your line of work, and I guess you're teaching this, too, so students would be able to use it?
Yeah, we have an adaptive technologies class, too, and so it would be useful for people who are disabled. I think that would be helpful, too.
All right, Beth, well, thanks.
Thank you very much. I really enjoy your show.
Hey, thanks for your vote. And the unfortunate news is that despite the fact that you like that story, the winner from last week was actually another story, but it was also Jorge's story. Jorge had to do with eating habits.
Leaving a carbon footprint.
Yeah, helping out with the carbon footprint.
Oh, so, yeah, well, that was a good story.
A lot
actually,
of people like that.
Most of them were pretty good.
Good. Well, all right. So, Jorge, the winner, James, sorry about that.
Actually, can I ask Beth a question?
Oh, Beth, question from James.
Did you like any of mine?
I don't remember particularly last. I listen to them sometimes in clumps of two or three.
Okay.
And so I forget which ones went in which week. You guys both choose good stories.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
You don't have to make James feel good.
Yeah.
No, a lot of times I really like James's stories.
Well, thank you very much. I feel better now. Thank you.
I like James's stories.
Thank you, Jorge. Yeah. I appreciate that. Will, what about you?
I don't like them. No, that's great. So
keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Beth. We appreciate your helping us.
Okay, no problem. Talk to you later.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Beth.
Bye-bye. All right, so nice of Beth to vote. Sorry that her vote wasn't the actual story, but still she voted for Jorge and Jorge's story won. So congratulations. I believe it is now 13 to...
12.
12.
Yeah.
With Jorge in the lead.
I'm on a mini hot streak.
So if you're the type of listener who likes to keep a running tally and really pay attention to the score, 13 to 12, everybody.
I actually think the listeners kind of like it to stay around even.
Well, you know what? We'll find out this week.
Yeah, we will.
Because this is the week you either pull ahead or we level out.
Right.
Do you think people bet on this at all?
Yes.
There are. I've heard that in some of the casinos in Vegas, there's actually a... It's on like
their numbers.
Sports book there.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into this week. We've wasted enough of our listeners' time. James, you want to? Who started off last week? We should.
I have no idea.
I think I did. So I think
you
James.
Did too. Yeah, we should give James. James is feeling down enough. All right, you want to start it off?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so my first story comes from the University of Puerto Rico, and it's being published in the journal BMC Developmental Biology, and they're looking at sea cucumbers, who are, I guess, the champions of organ regrowth, because they direct all their wound healing abilities towards the restoring their organs, and they're saying that by looking at how sea cucumbers do tissue regeneration, that we could learn how to do that ourselves. So they're actually like studying sea cucumbers and figuring out how they repair their organs in the hopes that someday, I guess, that that humans could do the same thing. So it's kind of like, I don't know if anyone there knows who Wolverine is, but he is my favorite comic book character. And he has regenerative powers. And I'm excited by this story because someday we may be able to regenerate as well.
You know what that would help is my fantasy football team where all my players are injured. So just saying.
So yeah, this is pretty neat. They say, like, I guess the squids are sort of what we look to understand our nervous system, and they're saying cucumbers should be viewed as the tissue regeneration equivalent of the squid. And I guess what they found is that they have these special cells that go right to the injury site and just start like this full repair of the organs and everything after just a couple weeks. So it's pretty cool that we're, you know, that's what we're turning to get this sorted out.
That is cool.
It kind of sounds like, gosh, I hate to do this as the moderator, but it seems like this is sort of a story in progress.
Well, it is, I guess, but they're just now.
I mean, that's okay.
But Will in James's defense, aren't they all?
It's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, well, how many stories are we like? They have the answer.
That's it.
Done.
Done.
And the door's closed.
Right. Right. You guys are right. Okay.
Thanks for shooting down my story, Will. Appreciate that.
Well, no, you guys put me in my place. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, James, cool. Let's take it over to Jorge. Story number one, go.
Okay, my first story. In case you were ever wondering what is the fastest continent.
I have been wondering.
India.
I was just going to take
more
a guess.
Of a subcontinent, but a new method for determining the thickness of lithospheric plates. And lithospheric plates is like the crust and uppermost mantle. So basically where we walk and build things.
Jorge,
lithospheric plate. Yes.
Could you compare that to like a pizza?
A pizza?
Yeah,
like maybe not the cheese of the pizza, but like the burnt crust of cheese. On
certainly,
top of the pizza.
Certainly not the pepperoni.
No, that would be like a city.
No, you're right. No, the pepperoni would be like the toposphere, which yeah,
right,
which is like a building or a mountain or something.
And then the box that the pizza comes in.
What's that?
The box that the pizza comes in.
That's outer space.
Isn't that like the stratosphere? Isn't there a stratosphere?
I guess yeah. I guess the box would be the stratosphere or the atmosphere, right?
And then outside.
And then the pizza delivery guys, like whatever.
He's God.
God.
That's the entity.
You believe in.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Okay. Well, what was I talking about again? All right. Something to do with India, right?
Yep. Anyway, the fastest continent.
Well, India, you know, 140 million years ago, India was part of the supercontinent Gondwanaland. And this also included Africa, Australia, Antarctica, and South America. And when these pieces drifted apart, what researchers think is the cause of the breakup was a mantle plume that heated the supercontinent from below, causing it to break.
How many relationships has that been the cause of the breakup?
I was just going to say, yeah, that is just the reason that most of my relationships have gone bad, too, is a mantle plume. I hate those things.
Long-distance relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they say that the plume melted the lower part of the Indian subcontinent away more so than other parts. So, for example, the Indian plate is about 100 kilometers, which is 62 miles thick, whereas other parts of Gondwanaland, which are now Africa, Australia, and Antarctica, are about 125 miles per hour thick. And because India's lithosphere is so much thinner,
Jorge,
moves faster.
Did you just say that it was 125
miles
per hour thick?
Miles thick.
Miles thick, okay.
Miles thick.
All right.
And when India, you know, moving faster, which is only 62 miles thick, collided into the rest of Eurasia, that's what created what we now call the Himalayas.
So lighter equals faster?
Lighter equals faster, which means when it crashed into another landmass, it created those huge mountains.
Now, in terms of physics, I wonder if that's true.
Which is what?
I don't know. I guess you'd have to do an experiment.
If it's lighter is faster?
Well, yeah. I mean, you figure that if the continent has less drag.
Yeah, it was moving on the water. Or not the water.
No, it's going, it's like, basically, it's liquid underneath all the continents.
Yeah,
it's like
liquid
molten
plasma.
Yeah, so
right.
If there's less drag in that, then
I guess you could test it for, like, maybe if you had, like, a sheet of ice that was thinner than a thick, like, a, a more thick sheet of ice and they were floating on a lake?
I think
that be a similar way to test it?
I think what determines it more is how many dinosaurs are standing on the land above it.
Anyway, the research was done by the Germany's National Lab for Geosciences and the National Geophysical Research Institute in India.
All right, that's great. Thanks to them for doing that. And let's take it back to James for story number two.
Okay, my second story comes from the Society of Endocrinology, and what they have studied is how height affects the way that people perceive their quality of life. So what they found is that taller people they perceive themselves to have a higher quality of life, and the index that they use is this health related quality of life, or HRQOL. And what they found is that men who are shorter than about 5'3" and women who are shorter than just under 5 foot, people who are shorter than that have a lower HRQOL. And what they found is that for those people, even a height difference of 2.7 inches for men or about 2.4 for women, taller is a big increase in the HRQOL. And the reason that this has, aside from just being interesting, is that they found that is in early development, some people, there are lots of different reasons that you can be short, and one of them is just that, you're genetically predisposed for that, but other things that can cause that are like diseases and that sort of thing. So I guess they're looking at how to treat children with growth hormones in the hopes that perhaps this might, help them out later on in life. But I would also think that if you're short and you perceive this, just knowing that it's not necessarily true, it's just a perception, could be helpful as well. And I should note that they did not actually look into whether or not those people do have a lower quality of life. All they studied was that perception.
So I wonder how they actually tested, the extra height. They give them some shoes or
no? What they had a questionnaire, and there were 14,416 respondents and that filled out this questionnaire. So that's how they were able to tell it's just the perception. So
if you were X inches taller, would
right,
you feel?
They feel are you this tall? Then tell us how you go through your day and how do you feel and that sort of thing. And they don't say if you wear high heels or something, if you wear shoes that are bigger, does that help out?
Have high hair.
They don't mention that in this study.
All right, James. Interesting. Let's take it back to Jorge for, what is it? Story number two.
My story number two, my next story comes out of the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, where, we have all these cities, and you think that, it's detrimental to most animal species, and some animal species have actually thrived in urban environments. Naturally, you think squirrels and raccoons, but even things like deer and Canadian geese have actually thrived in these urban populations. But they've added another bird to this list, and it's the barred owl, which is the third largest species of owl in the U.S. And it's kind of surprising to biologists, because most stuff that's been written about these birds is that they needed old growth forests, and old growth forests are few and far between in the United States these days. But what they found is that in Charlotte, and particularly in the city proper, and then also in the suburbs, the birds have adapted well to the habitat we've created with suburban environments. So, in the suburbs you might find a few large old oak trees or something like that, and then lots of lawns. And it mimics, in a sense, these old growth forests where you would have these huge trees and then you'd have, a kind of wide open understory. So you'll have a tree and then you'll have a lawn, and it allows these birds to hunt really well. They can just see whatever's moving below in someone's front yard. And in studying this is kind of, to them it took them by surprise. They were actually trying to study how urban environment affected the barn owl. And then they had to change their study completely for this other owl because they found out that this owl was doing so well in this town. And I don't know, on another note is that even 100 years ago when the city was much smaller and a lot of the current residential area was farmland, there was actually less suitable for the barred owls because there was less trees in the farm areas than there are now. So, once these farmlands started getting developed in the suburbs and little developments, the tree that was planted 100 years ago is now like a large oak tree, has become like the perfect home for these kinds of species.
I wonder if there are any other animals that could maybe take a lesson from the barred owl. Maybe if they work with us a little bit more, they'd do
better. Bird I tried to find in Arkansas, right? Yeah, the ivory bill?
Yeah.
Maybe,
that also needs old growth forests. Come on.
Yeah, how about a little effort, animals?
Maybe every endangered species.
Yeah.
Like a meet us halfway type of thing.
Right, come on, Komodo dragon. So little help.
This is really a story that a developer, I think, would love.
I think actually the story was it was studied by the National Developers.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. it's a real, biologists were working on it.
All right, Jorge, back to James for his third and final story.
All right, my third story is actually my favorite story because it goes on the theme of like taking things that are probably in your cupboard and that have actual really good health effects. So this adds, I think, goes with the pumpkin, and I had something else.
Jorge, he's totally selling this.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
Go ahead.
All right, here's my great story, everybody. This was in the October issue of the International Journal of Clinical Practice, and what they are saying is that patients should ask surgeons about using honey to heal wounds. They're saying that patients who have undergone surgery should ask their doctors whether they should apply honey to their wounds, which could help speed up healing and reduce infection. Honey is actually an ancient remedy that is used for wound healing. And in the early 20th century, the researchers had started to document the wound healing properties of honey. But then, guess what killed the honey boom?
Aspirin.
Antibiotics. In 1940, antibiotics came out, and so they stopped looking at honey. But now with the all these drug-resistant infections, they're saying...
Very much in the news right now.
Right. So now they're saying, well, hey, you know what? You worked pretty good before, and we just cast it aside because we didn't think we needed it anymore. Honey. So,
not that we're endorsing that.
No. But they're saying
that's what these guys
it can be used to sterilize infected wounds, heat up spilling, impede tumors.
Spilling?
Oh, speed up healing, I meant.
Right.
They say if you apply it at regular intervals from hourly to twice daily, that wounds can become sterile in 3 to 10 days.
And who's this story? The honeymakers of America?
No, this is actually put out by bees. But they the thing that does so well is that it's good against bacterial growth because it's got a high sugar content, low moisture content, and it's got gluconic acid. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it creates an acidic environment, and it also has hydrogen peroxide in it, and all of that has been shown to reduce inflammation and swelling, according to this. So
you know what's even better than honey?
What?
Sea cucumbers covered in honey.
Well, and so here's the thing, right? Who's to say that in like a couple years, like, uh-oh, I just chopped off my finger, but it's growing back, and I'm going to use honey to make sure that it comes back all the way and even stronger, even than bionics.
Were you guys ever given, when you had a sore throat, you had to drink some lemon juice and honey?
Sure.
Was that common...
Yeah, and a lot of cough drops and things like that have honey. But that's, I wonder if that's all part, part
of the
parcel.
That might be a little different.
Next time I hurt myself, and I've even considered just going home and hit my finger with a hammer, because I am dying to see whether or not this actually works.
I wouldn't hit your finger with a hammer. I don't know if that would actually break the skin. I would do something. I would just maybe
cut myself. Maybe like on a paper cut.
Yeah, paper cut.
No, wait. Paper cuts hurt.
Before you leave, I'll set up a little accident.
All right, I got one more thing to sell this story.
Yep.
That they're saying that like with a laparoscopic surgery that's big today with like removing cancers and that sort of thing, that it's good for those, particularly I guess for those kinds of things.
Or seriously, who is this story from? Did you already tell us?
Yeah, I did. It's from the it's in the October issue of the International Journal of Clinical Practice.
That's great. I actually do like a story that speaks of something very simple that we've had for a long time that could turn out to be helpful. All right, Jorge, let's take it back to you for your, not that I'm endorsing James as the winner this week. Jorge, let's hear your third and final story.
My third and final story comes from Princeton University in a journal, Nature Materials. And researchers have developed a new way to refract light. Basically, when light is refracted, it bends one way. It always bends the same way. It's like that property where you put... a drinking straw, and you see it kind of bent, a certain way.
Illustrated by the cover of Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Perfect. What these researchers did is created a new metamaterial crafted from alternating layers of semiconductors, which acts as a single lens to refract light in that opposite direction that it never does. And so refraction is the reason why like lenses are curved a certain way, and why. And what they're saying is that with this new way to refract light, that flat lenses are possible and that theoretically allow microscopes to capture images as small as like strands of DNA just by the lenses without being refracted or bent a certain way can actually capture this material, much smaller.
You know what else can do that?
What?
Honey.
This was actually brought curing. To you by the Light Refractors Association of America.
While it's curing curing your post-op wounds, it can bend light, by the way.
Right. I just thought it was kind of weird that after all these years of light being around, we just figured out how to bend it a different way.
Jorge, did they say what they plan to do with this technology?
Do the light refraction?
Yeah.
I guess they'd hope to use it to create lenses that that could see things much smaller, like strands of DNA,
yeah,
and maybe create lenses in our glasses that don't have to be curved.
That's what I was.
But, although I don't know if it would really, you know, I mean, I don't know if that would make a huge difference.
It might look worse actually to have sort of flat
lenses.
Actually, all you think of old time glasses, yeah, I think they looked kind of flat.
But like that, I mean that. Like
the old timey,
the big bonus out of that is that we'll
you
have
can
flat
see
lenses.
DNA.
So it's that you can actually see stuff much closer up than
right.
before.
Okay. Right.
Well, that's cool.
Which is good.
All
right. I don't know about the glasses not being curved. I don't really know.
Yeah. But,
I mean, we're all going to be getting laser eye surgery anyway, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty soon we'll all have bionic eyes.
All right, guys.
Bionic honey growing
look
eyes.
Look at somebody check out their DNA.
All right, guys, before we tell our listeners how to vote for their favorite story, do a quick recap of your stories. James, go.
Okay, I'm going to do back to first. My last story was about how honey could help heal wounds after surgery. My second story was how height is perceived to affect the quality of life. And the first story I did was about how we're now studying sea cucumbers to learn how to regenerate limbs and stuff.
All right. And Jorge, your stories.
My three stories were that India is the fastest continent, that ecologists have found that Charlotte is actually a very good location for barred owls, and that researchers have figured out a way to bend light backwards.
Thanks a million for your stories this week. We appreciate it, as always. And listeners, if you would like to vote for James's stories, you can do that at pod_cast@discovery.com. Or give us a ring, believe it or not, and leave us a message. Tell us what story you like and why you like it at 888-890-6339. And the email, once again, pod_cast@discovery.com. All right, guys?
Cool.
Great, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for being here this week.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks for being you, Will.
We'll talk to you next week on the Friday News Feedback for Discovery News. I'm Will Johnson.